Hi, this is Pastor Leon Pretorius from Grace Fellowship Sasselburg. Welcome to episode number 8 on our study of suffering. As I said to you in the last episode, we are now ready to look at the 5 sources of suffering in our lives. Now, there are 5 primary places that pain enters our lives. That is myself, others, the fallen world, Satan, and God. Now, I want to look at each one of these and show you how God's grace-producing counsel helps us endure the inevitable suffering of this world. So the first place pain comes into my life is through my own sin. That's myself. In other words, we can transgress against God and then suffer the consequences. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8 says, "Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." So if you sow in selfishness, you will reap loneliness. If you sow in immorality, you will reap filth and disease. If you sow in anger, you will reap in broken relationships. If you sow in greed, you will reap in captivity. If you sow in laziness, you will reap in want. If you sow in indulgence, you will reap in addiction. Now, God's counsel can mitigate and in most cases completely relieve us from the pain and suffering we endure because of our sin. Listen, the first thing that God offers is forgiveness. In Acts chapter 10, verse 38 to 43, we read, "You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses," this is Peter speaking, "of all the things he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They also put him to death by hanging him on a cross. And God raised him up on the third day and granted that he become visible, not to all the people, but to witnesses who were chosen beforehand by God. That is to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he ordered us," this is Jesus, "ordered the apostles to preach to the people and solemnly to testify that this is the one who has been appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. Of him all the prophets bear witness that through his name everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins." God offers to remove your transgressions as far as the east is from the west. He promises to cast it into the depths of the sea and never to recall it again. God offers to clean your conscience of the guilt you carry around. He offers to give you peace from the regrets and sorrows that you bear because of your sin. The second thing that he promises is to train you in righteousness. Titus chapter 2 verse 11 to 14. "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus." The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires. You see, God will teach you to love righteousness and hate wickedness. He will train you on how to live the life the way he intended it to be lived. His instruction leads to life and to peace and to contentment, even in the most challenging circumstances. The second place suffering enters our lives is through other people. Now, as I've said to you before, it's essential to recognize where your pain is coming from. If you're a victim of someone else's sin, you need to admit that. This is not to say that you accuse them and blame them. It's important because the Bible gives specific counsel on how to deal with that other that is causing pain in your life? Are you suffering because of a spouse? Well, 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 1 to 7 will help you how to deal with that. Are you suffering because of a failure in government? 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 13 to 17 will teach you how to deal with that. Are you suffering because of your superiors, perhaps a boss? 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 18 to 25 will help you to deal with that. Are you suffering because of the sin of other people? Hebrews chapter 12 verse 1 to 13 will give you counsel to deal with those people. You see, God's counsel is always redemptive and accurate to the situation. It may not always bring immediate relief, but it gives you direction. God's counsel points you to true north. And if you keep following, you will find the relief you seek. The third area that pain enters our lives is the fallen world. Death is a source of unending grief to all of us. Now we all live under the constant shadow of this lurking enemy that can strike at any moment. You'll remember that the Bible teaches that the material world is subjected to corruption because of Adam's sin. So the planet we live on and the body you live in has a corrupting principle working in it. Our resources are limited, as we saw in Genesis. Diseases seem limitless, and life is frustrating. Every generation reaches and falls, but no one can break free from this bondage to decay. Now, God's redemptive counsel holds out a promise to correct everything. Romans chapter 8 verse 18 to 25, the Bible reads, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth and together until now. And not only this, but we also ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, which is the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we have been saved. But hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it." You see, the fact that God keeps us under trials helps us to long for the promises of restoration. I recently heard of a family friend who ran the Comrades. As you know, the Comrades is a long and arduous journey with unending suffering. I don't understand why people subject themselves to it. But there he was running the Comrades. About a quarter into the race, our family friend stopped at one of the tents to get a back massage. And apparently, the masseuse rubbed him with deep heat and then sent him on his way. He was very thankful for the brief relief he got from the ointment. But within about 5 kilometers, he was heating up again, and so he started sweating. And of course, the sweat ran over the deep heat and into his pants. And he said the rest of the race, he had a burning sensation that urged him on. He ran the race best time because he just wanted to finish. You see, our sufferings cause us to groan in eager expectation for our adoption as sons. They urge us to look for the promise of God. In Revelation chapter 21 verse 3 to 7, we read of this promise. "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them." This is what we are looking forward to. "And they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he," that's God, "will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning, or crying, or pain. The first things have passed away. And he who sits on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. And he said, write, for these words are faithful and true. Then he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the springs of the water of life without cost. He who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. So while we live in a fallen world, God's counsel helps us persevere and endure the suffering we experience because of our life in this world. The fourth area of pain, or the fourth area of pain that pain enters our lives, is through Satan. Now, the Bible describes this being with many different names, and every name adds to our understanding of who he really is. In Isaiah 14 verse 12, he's called Lucifer, which is the morning star. And as we know, the morning star is the brightest star in the morning. And so it points to the fact that this being that God created was the pinnacle, so to speak, one of the brightest, if not the brightest, amongst all of God's creation. But we also know that soon after his creation, he fell because of discontentment, unthankfulness, and greed. And so he became Satan, which means the hinderer, the opponent, the adversary. He is also called the devil, which is diabolos, which is an accuser or slanderer. And this is what he has become. He will accuse and slander people to God, like he did with Job. He is also called the serpent in the Bible, indicating his subtlety and deceitfulness. He's also called the dragon, describing his power. He's also called Belial, which in direct translation from the Greek is good for nothing or worthless. In other words, this creature, because of his fallen nature now, has become good for nothing good. He is now worthless to do anything that is good because he is totally corrupted. He is also called the tempter. He incites others to sin against God. He is also called Beelzebub, which is Lord of the Flies or Lord of the Dunghill. Now, I think that says a lot about those who choose to follow him. And then he is also called the Lawless One, the Deceiver, the Murderer, and the Liar. You see, the Bible says that the whole world lies in the power of this evil being. In Luke chapter 4, verse 5 to 7, we are told that Jesus was led into the desert to be tempted by Satan, and that Satan led him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment. And then the devil said to him, I will give you all this domain and its glory. In other words, I have the opinions of people in the palm of my hand, and I can make them love you. I can make them worship you. You just have to fall down and worship me. So Jesus never argued with him, because that's true. This world is in the power of the evil one. That says a lot about wanting to be famous in the world. How does God's counsel help us in this area? Well, God's word offers truth and light. The Holy Spirit promises to give you understanding into the truth of God's word, so that you will be able to resist the devil, to combat his lies, and to pursue a truly happy life, and not the false mirage that Satan would have you follow after. And then we enter into the last area. And I think of all the avenues that suffering enters our lives, this last one is the most perplexing. Some people are utterly shocked when they learn that God is a source of suffering in their lives. Now, there are several things to consider here so that we can think soberly about the source. Therefore, I am going to slow down and take the next two episodes to discuss how God is related to your suffering. So until we meet again, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.